she could ask him. And she would show the clock to Bob. He would love it. Bob loved old things, even old stamps and buttons. He liked to go with her to the stores. Of course, it was a little awkward, but Larry had been staying at the office so much, and that helped. If only Larry didn't call up sometimes to... There was a whir. The clock shuddered, and all at once the door opened. The cuckoo came out, sliding swiftly. He paused and looked around solemnly, scrutinizing her, the room, the furniture. It was the first time he had seen her, she realized, smiling to herself in pleasure. She stood up, coming toward him shyly. Go on, she said. I'm waiting. The cuckoo opened his bill. He whirred and chirped, quickly, rhythmically. Then, after a moment of contemplation, he retired, and the door snapped shut. She was delighted. She clapped her hands and spun in a little circle. He was marvelous, perfect. And the way he had looked around, studying her, sizing her up. He liked her, she was certain of it. And she, of course, loved him at once, completely. He was just what she had hoped would come out of the little door. Doris went to the clock. She bent over the little door, her lips close to the wood.
Do you hear me? She whispered. I think you're the most wonderful cuckoo in the world.
She paused, embarrassed.
I hope you like it here.
Then she went downstairs again, slowly, her head high. Larry and the cuckoo clock really never got along well from the start. Doris said it was because he didn't wind it right, and it didn't like being only half wound all the time. Larry turned the job of winding over to her. The cuckoo came out every quarter hour and ran the spring down without remorse, and someone had to be ever after it, winding it up again. Doris did her best, but she forgot a good deal of the time. Then Larry would throw his newspaper down with an elaborate, weary motion and stand up. He would go into the dining room where the clock was mounted on the wall over the fireplace. He would take the clock down, and making sure that he had his thumb over the little door, he would wind it up.
Why do you put your thumb over the door?
Doris asked once.
You're supposed to.
She raised an eyebrow.
Are you sure? I wonder if it isn't that you don't want him to come out while you're standing so close.
Why not?
Maybe you're afraid of him.
Larry laughed. He put the clock back on the wall and gingerly removed his thumb. When Doris wasn't looking, he examined his thumb. There was still a trace of the nick cut out of the soft part of it. Who or what had pecked at him? One Saturday morning, when Larry was down at the office working over some important special accounts, Bob Chambers came to the front porch and rang the bell. Doris was taking a quick shower. She dried herself and slipped into her robe. When she opened the door, Bob stepped inside, grinning.
Hi,
he said, looking around.
It's all right. Larry's at the office.
Fine. Bob gazed at her slim legs below the hem of the robe. How nice you look today. She laughed.
Be careful. Maybe I shouldn't let you in after all.
They looked at one another, half amused, half frightened. Presently Bob said,
If you want, I'll...
No, for God's sake. She caught hold of his sleeve.
Just get out of the doorway so I can close it. Mrs. Peters across the street, you know.
She closed the door.
And I want to show you something, she said. You haven't seen it.
He was interested. An antique? Or what? She took his arm, leading him toward the dining room.
You'll love it, Bobby.
She stopped, wide-eyed.
I hope you will. You must. You must love it. It means so much to me. He means so much.
He? Bob frowned. Who is he? Doris laughed.
You're jealous. Come on.
A moment later, they stood...